The last two verses of James chapter 1 had some of the few references in the Bible to religion. And James contrasted worthless religion with an undefiled religion. One of the definitions of an undefiled religion was a habit or a tradition of trying to do what is right. His word picture was unspotted. Spill on is the Greek word. Don't get spills on you. And therefore, an unspotted religion would be someone who says, I want to know what is right. I want to do what is right. And one example was to take care of widows and orphans in their need. So that is his description of an undefiled religion. But he also had a worthless religion in mind, where they wouldn't care about the widows or the orphans, and I'm sure that overlaps now as we come to James chapter 2, where the topic in James' mind will be favoritism towards the rich, and that's all you know about them, is they got a lot of money. That's about all you know. They've visited. They got a lot of money. And so in his contrast, that's the definition of a worthless religion. Bible's description would involve this, no respecter of persons. Now, that's a New Testament way of saying it. We wouldn't talk like that, but Acts 10:34 and Romans 2:11. I thought I would try an illustration with my farm relatives in Michigan. They will once in a while talk about the country club church. Now, these people are not poor. They got a lot more money than I do. I don't really know. I never ask. That's part of it. You don't ask, but, you know, flat prairie land and Southern County in Michigan's right next to Indiana. It's worth 10,000 plus an acre, and they got thousands of acres, and they're not exactly poor, but they do not like snobbery. First hint of hoity-toity snobbery, that is the end of it. Now, they're not poor, but they wouldn't act elite. That's how my Michigan farm cousins are. That's kind of how we grew up. My grandpa had money. My dad never did. Our family never did. My grandpa had it. He'd go buy a new car. He'd wait till the whole thing wore out. I mean, it's really, really old, but when he bought a new car, he just paid cash for it and didn't think a thing of it. So that kind of attitude is work hard, and it could be God will bless, but if you make a lot, don't be snooty. And their phrase is the country club religion. I actually think that's part of the reason I fit in well kind of with this culture here, because even though we are a city and you do have snootiness in a city, it's kind of a small town. It's still kind of got a country attitude. And that's kind of what James is going to talk about here. Certainly not favoritism towards the rich. I do feel a very need to balance it, though, because favoritism towards the rich is a problem, but so is jealousy and envy. Now, that's not James' topic yet. He will have it in the book of James before it's over with. But I feel like as we turn now to James 2:1, we are going to have to talk about both sides to make it balanced in our time. Well, we'll talk about favoritism, but we also talk about jealousy. Let's look at James 2, verse 1. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. And again, that overlaps with the close of chapter 1, talking about worthless religion versus an undefiled religion. But before we get into his main topic, notice he does talk about faith. Faith brings salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The little letter of James is not stressing theology. It would not be sufficient for a theology book. We don't have references to the cross or the resurrection in it, which obviously James believed, but it's not in here. There is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a little theology there. Looking ahead to verse 2, just so I don't leave it out. If a man comes into your assembly, and most of the time in the Bible, assembly is ecclesia. We get church from it. This one is synagogue. That's unusual. Now, it's probably a church, but if a man comes into your synagogue, in other words, it's probably a very early book. And most scholars look at James and say, either James is first or Galatians is first. And that's one of the reasons. It's very, very early. They're still calling their meeting place a synagogue. Well, beyond those secondary points, notice no respecter of persons came out in the Acts 10, 34, and Romans 2, 11 again. Now, we should say God's measurement of evaluating a life is going to be the Bible. And both before and after, James stressed is going to be on the Word of Truth. Word of Truth, chapter 1, verse 18, that brings salvation through the gospel in the Bible. And don't just be a hearer, be a doer. Several references to law of liberty. So, putting that together, we evaluate our own lives on the Word of Truth. So, a rich person can be very, very godly, and a rich person can be evil. A poor person can be very, very godly, and a poor person can be evil. My way of saying that is not enough information given. Especially if we don't know them. And he is talking about new acquaintances. So the attitude, I believe, is, we'll talk more about it as we read on, welcome. And the attitude is welcome, but not favoritism, which is good in both directions. And here he's mainly talking about favoritism towards the rich, bouncing it off. The Bible would, of course, talk about jealousy also. But more on that as we read on. Let's talk about the standard a little bit. Here Jesus said this in John 8, 24. Judge not according to appearances, but judge according to righteous judgment. And I have to stress, God's standard is what is true versus what is false. What is good and holy versus what is evil. Judge not according to appearances, but judge according to righteous judgment. Now, of course, you could do the David and Goliath verse in 1 Samuel 16, where people look at the outward appearances, but God looks at the heart. You and I can't quickly look at a person's heart. We just don't know. So I would say acceptance, welcome, believe the best. But on the other hand, no personal favoritism, and adding, the Bible adds it too, James doesn't, but no jealousy. They're both true. The factor in the evaluation of one's own life is more than income. That's the topic here, but I can add others. It's more than appearance. Are they very beautiful looking or are they not? Fame. Does everybody know who they are or are they obscure? Position, high position in society, not. Talents, really, really good. When they sing like me, they're no good. Education, lots of degrees, not lots of degrees. Athletic ability, that's a big one. They can throw that ball really good or they can't. Well, all these things can be good. Don't have to be bad, can be good. But my attitude, and I think that's what James is saying, not enough information given. Because with all these things, talent, athletic ability, income, a person can be godly or a person can be evil. So I don't put it in a bad category. Good, good, that's good, good. But not enough information given is what I think he's going to say. And there's a lot of stress in this part of James on the law of liberty. To balance out income, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. Or Psalm 73, I was envious when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Which is it? Could be either. Just don't know enough yet. about a person. Now, we might know about ourselves, but we don't know enough about an acquaintance. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, or the prosperity of the wicked. An income level could result from hard work and dedication to God, and the blessing of the Lord makes rich. Yeah, we wouldn't want to just assume, boy, they must have got all that money by being evil. I think that is a tendency in America, but it's not its tradition. So there you go. We'll fight it out. But in the Bible, there were godly rich people. Abraham was rich. Job was rich. Solomon was rich. Joseph was prime minister of Egypt. And Joseph of Arimathea had much. And the rich ladies followed Jesus around his disciples, according to Luke chapter 8. So, a rich person could be the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And I assume, see, now I'm from Dutch descendants, that was their attitude. Work hard, work hard, work hard. It'll probably work out very good, and if you do, don't be arrogant. That's kind of how it is. I think that's the way a lot of Americans do. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. On the other hand, El Chapo got rich by being a drug dealer, and I don't care what our government does to him. I do not care. And it is true that Al Capone in the 1930s offered the Bible Church in Chicago all kinds of money, and the board said, we don't want any of it. That is true. One of my dad's classmates in the Bible college was a later pastor after that time. They would not take it. So the blessing of the Lord can make one rich, and that's true. On the other hand, the prosperity of the wicked. They're both Bible verses. In other words, I would say, when you first meet them, we don't know. Give them the benefit of the doubt. So I'm kind of balancing this. Of course, the type of favoritism mentioned here, which as we read on, I'll say to the poor people, you sit on the floor. I mean, that's kind of bad, really. That's your worthless religion. You sit on the floor. But they're both true. The blessing of the Lord might make rich, or Jesus talked about the person who was rich, and they left God out of their life and said, I need a bigger treasury. I need a bigger greenery for all my crops. Didn't think about God, and Jesus called him a fool. When Jesus said, no one can serve God and money, in Luke 16, 14 and following, it says they scoffed. These were your Pharisees. Jesus said, God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable, King James, abominable to God. So a person is rich, and they visit the church. Are they godly or are they evil? Don't know. I mean, we would assume the best of them. I think that's the way to start with people, assume the best. We would agree here with not immediately making a person with a high income, not immediately making them an elder. I mean, you know, that happens too, by the way. Country club church. You can run this, you can run that. You can. So James' point is true. Well, on the other hand, in our time, I think we need to balance it also. The Bible is also against jealousy. There are many, many verses against jealousy and envy. And that's not James' topic, but it is Bible. I'm not just making it up here. I mean, obviously, it's in the Bible. Thou shalt not covet made the top 10. Now, we don't seem to have this problem, but I think of the Bible Church in Grand Rapids. And I know about them. I used to go there when I was a kid. And Ken Weist, our missionary from Turkey, he will visit there over and over. Last I knew, they had 3 billionaires and hundreds of multimillionaires. Just lots of them. And so what do you do in that situation? What do you do in that situation? Well, the best thing to do is, if you are rich, be humble. And not to assume the worst out of them. And this, I know these people. I know how they live. They work very, very hard in their cases. Unless you know better, it's the blessing of the Lord makes rich. I mean, they have it. So, jealousy is a problem, too. Arrogance and hoity-toity is a problem. Jealousy is a problem. Is anybody going to get to that? Now, that's ahead of what we're doing here, James 4, 2. You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You have not because you ask not. So he'll get to jealousy. But as we look at this topic, again, a person's income level, they can be godly or they can be evil. And, of course, if they're visiting a church, you've got to assume the best. That's how you start. I think that's the way we ought to start. Let's call them strangers. I think that's the way we ought to start. But there's more to it than that. So James 2 warns of personal favoritism. And we'll read on in a minute. But very interesting in Exodus 23. Because it's just the opposite of what you would think. Exodus 23 is, let me quote. Exodus 23:2, you shall not follow a multitude to do evil. The majority of the people are mad and they're doing this and they're out there right. You shall not follow a multitude of people to do evil. Exodus 23, I think it's verse 30. Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his dispute. That's rising too. A person who has money, sue him. You shall not be partial to a poor, you think it would say rich. And verses do say that, but not all of them. But the Bible balances it all out. You shall not be partial to a poor man, is it you? So what you have here is don't show favoritism towards the rich. Very, very true. On the other hand, don't hate them either and, think of the best. Now, let's read on, verse 2 and following. First, when a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, you pay special attention to the one who is wearing fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or you sit down by my footstool, you sit on the floor. Have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Well, I hope that didn't happen back in Bible days. I don't know of it happening on purpose. I suppose an individual might act like this. I don't know of it happening on purpose in our time. I think concerning visitors is the right to welcome everybody. Speakers. When I look at the categories of people who have visited here, it's been rather amazing. Of course, I've been here a long time, but we've had Muslims visit. We have had Hindus visit. We have had Jews visit. We have had homosexuals visit. We have had New Agers visit. You may not know that, but they do. And as long as they are respectful and don't try to influence anybody else, particularly the kids, visit. That's just fine. You just come and you seek and you listen with respect. Now, that is a proper attitude towards people, whatever income level they appear to have. And by the way, appearances aren't always reality either. There are all kinds of people that don't look wealthy that have all kinds of money and all kinds of people that look wealthy that are in debt. I had this with the raising our kids. I said, they look really, really rich, but they got arrested for hot checks within 2 weeks. These aren't people that go to our church, but these are people that my kids knew when they were little. I said, they might look like it. You can't go by that. So James' illustration is to welcome everybody, assume the best, and just kind of wait and see. I think it is good to give welcome to all visitors. I think it is good to make attendance to anything really, really easy. Now, that's a little bit different than making leadership easy. So attendance is one thing. Leadership is another. It's not regarding money, but it's regarding behavior. But I have this in my first church in Pennsylvania. This lady was a really good musician. She was very good at it, but she was living with a man and not married to him. Can I do things in your church? You can sit and listen. You can't do anything. That's my illustration of the difference between welcoming people to listen and seek and respect, and then, you know, right away making them leaders. I'll give another illustration just because it's current. If a really prominent person came in and asked to pray, I probably would do that. Now, we're not going to have that in Amarillo. But you may have heard on the news, I thought you'd think it's interesting, but Donald Trump went to McLean Bible Church in June, and the service was half over. He's driving around out in Virginia, that's a suburb of D.C., and he wanted them to pray for him. So the sermon was all done, and they prayed for him. Now, I don't think that's exactly personal favoritism, because the Bible does say, when you have a leader, pray for the leaders. So that's a little bit different, and they're asking for prayer. Would it be in the category of whatever an income level a person is, if they come in the building and ask for prayer, you pray for them? That's not really personal favoritism. Let's read on in James 2. We'll read at verse 5 and following, and we're going to get back to the Bible as the standard. Income alone could be good. Doesn't have to be good. The Bible is the standard. Listen, my beloved brethren, verse 5, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs? You're all going to heaven, little believers, whatever income level, heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him. But you have dishonored this poor man. Is not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? You've had some of that, too. Did he not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law, according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, back to not wanting the widows and the orphans around, if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law, yet stumbles in one point, has become guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you commit adultery, but you commit murder, you become a transgressor of the law. And we'll leave the last two. James is giving us his standard. And again, how do we judge our own lives, which we already know better, or how do we judge other people's lives? You give them the benefit of the doubt, and in both cases, you love your neighbor as yourself. I think we should not assume the worst immediately. Whatever their income level, whatever their athletic ability, whatever their appearances, whatever, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So this illustration he gave of telling the poor people to sit on the floor, that is really bad. And there's an emphasis upon loving God here, although he doesn't quote that highest commandment in verse 5. Remember the close of verse 5? Promise to those who love him. So while he does not quote the Old Testament, he's got both commandment number 1 and commandment number 2 together. Commandment number 1, which Jesus is the greatest, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Commandment number 2, love your neighbor as yourself. So in James' thinking, even though he doesn't quote commandment number 1, he's got loving God right here in verse 5, and then loving your neighbor as yourself in verse 8. Both of those are the main commandments. And the truth is, Jesus said, upon these hang the whole law. I mean, if you love God first, you love your neighbor as yourself, you'll kind of do a lot of the rest of it, like not kill them and not steal from them. So they're kind of foundational, and they're both right here. And James is saying the Bible is the standard. He's also is against any favoritism because treating a poor person like this is awful. And really, I don't think I know of any stories where that actually happened in our time. And maybe it did happen in the Roman Empire. Maybe they were that way. That is not the typical American attitude. But to balance it off, the typical American attitude does include don't be jealous. It does include if you work hard, you might have a lot, but don't feel superior. They're both biblical, but James is dealing with this awful treatment of the poor people. They give an illustration of you sit on the floor. He also has a little theology in here. If you sin in one way, you're guilty of all of it. Paul also said that in the book of Galatians. Cursed is everyone who does not obey all the things written in the book. Well, often James and Paul are contrasted as though they were different. They were not different. We are obligated to do everything, but we all fall short. But we're saved by grace, by trusting Jesus, but certainly we don't have to fall that short of what you see here, the arrogance. And the key is the Bible is the standard, not so much these other things. They might be all right. It can be okay to have good appearances and be talented and okay to be really at a high IQ, and it can be okay to make a big income. It's just not enough yet. These are okay if the blessing of the Lord makes rich, or the blessing of the Lord makes smart, or the blessing of the Lord gave a high position. They can be okay. The foundational here is love God first, love your neighbor as yourself. Let's pray together, please.